today, Leemund Weekend 2.0. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Well, late last week, I started to suggest that given all the uncertainty coming out of Europe, we might see central banks, rather than quantitative tightening, consider quantitative easing further to try and support the markets. Well, that may well be happening because I think we should expect to see volatility to amp up on Monday. And in fact, it's probably already heading for its biggest two-month surge in a year, according to the gauge of cross-asset expectations for price swings in Treasuries, US stocks, and global currencies. In fact, Treasuries are leading the way. But this is potentially another Lehman moment as the US and its European allies step up their response to the escalating conflicts as Vladimir Putin ordered Russia's military advance to proceed, by announcing plans to sanction the central bank in Moscow and cut off various Russian leaders from the critical SWIFT financial messaging system. That comes on top of earlier moves against the country's biggest banks and restrictions on the nation's bonds. Russia's currencies have fallen to a record low amid the current crisis. So as a result, it's likely that all thoughts of quantitative tightening and inflation control will be put on the back burner and be swamped by the potential need for liquidity and central banks to do what they, well, keep on doing. Already emerging market currencies have slumped and the Australian bonds soared as global markets opened in Asia on Monday in some of the first signs of this growing financial fallout from Russia's assault on Ukraine and the West's response via sanctions. We would expect Russian bonds and currency to continue falling, said Kathy Jones, a fixed income strategist at Charles Schwab. We also expect pressure on the euro due to the economic damage that may come from rising energy costs and potential decline in business activity and consumer confidence. Sanctioning Russia's central bank is likely to have a dramatic effect on the country's economy and its banking system. Elena Rybakova, deputy chief economist for the Institute of International Finance, said before the last round of penalties was announced, this would likely lead to massive bank runs and dollarization with a sharp sell-off, drain on reserves, and possibly a full collapse of Russia's financial system. So the Russian ruble will be in focus, along with potential currency havens such as the US dollar, which climbed against the euro and risk sentiment proxies such as the Australian dollar. The South African and Turkish currencies slumped early on Monday as emerging market currencies face contagion fears. The Aussie 10-year bond dropped 8 basis points to 2.148 so far. Hard currency bonds from Russia and Ukraine will closely be watched following credit ratings cuts by major assessors late on Friday, as well as a swathe of global markets from oil and wheat to treasuries and bank stocks. The decision to exclude various Russian leaders from the SWIFT messaging system could result in missed payments and giant overdrafts within the international banking system and spur monetary authorities to reactivate daily operations to supply the market with dollars. In fact, Zero Hedge covered this issue very well, saying, in a remarkable show of force and unity, Western powers cast aside all their previous concerns about Russian energy supplies and unilaterally announced the nuclear option of imposing sanctions on the Russian central bank, coupled with targeted exclusion from SWIFT of key Russian banks. The move has sparked a bank run in Russia as locals scramble to pull out whatever hard currency they can get their hands on before it runs out, and is certain to trigger chaotic moves in foreign exchange and commodities when markets reopen ahead. Already, some Russian banks are offering to exchange rubles for dollars at a rate of 171 rubles per dollar on Sunday, compared to the official closing price of 83 on Friday, before the European US announcement about targeting the Russian central bank. In other words, We're looking at a 50% devaluation of the ruble. Additionally, widespread announcements of divestments in Russian equities by the likes of BP and the Norwegian Sovereign Wealth Fund means that the Russian market will be a bloodbath on Monday. And as Bloomberg notes, commodities are heading for a manic start to the week as investors scramble to assess how the West's latest sanctions on Russia will affect flows of energy, metals and crops. The coming days are fraught with risks for crude, even aside from the sanction fallout. There's a midweek meeting of OPEC Plus on output. The Biden administration may tap stockpiles, and Iranian nuclear talks look to be nearing a conclusion. On top of that, American crude inventories at the key Cushing hub could sink to the lowest since 2014 if there's another modest draw. Meanwhile, Goldman Sachs says that despite the rally in prices, it's unlikely that OPEC Plus will choose to quicken the pace at which the alliance will be restoring supply, citing Russia's essential role in the grouping. And while Europe's moment of unity is certainly inspiring, it doesn't answer the question just how the continent will replace the massive amount of energy that flows every single day via the countless Russian pipelines into Europe, which are now, for most intents and purposes, shut. Well, that's the view of prominent Credit Suisse Group AG strategist Zoltan Pozsar, who published a note on Sunday examining the consequences for money markets of the decision to take some lenders off SWIFT, a system that facilitates international payments between institutions. So what happens to the Western financial system as a result of the sudden expulsion of Russia and its billions of dollars from the global monetary system? One somewhat dire take comes from Bear Traps Report author Larry McDonald, who wrote overnight that we need urgently to know what is actually sanctioned here. They, Olaf, Macron, Biden, will try and dance around risk with a targeted SWIFT, but they're probably not qualified to do so, adding that it's like a Lehman weekend with clueless politicians trying to find risk in the dark. If they sanctioned the central bank and the transfer agents for Eurobonds, then Russia will default on all foreign debt immediately. And if Russia tries to find a backdoor through China, we will fine or sanction Chinese banks. Another thing, Germany can play SWIFT, tough guy, but Macron has to protect the most vulnerable Societe Generale, and Draghi is probably trying to protect vulnerable Italian banks like Intesa. Now, while that particular take might be a bit extreme, as it presupposes Europe has rushed into the wholesale sanctions without any backup plans, a more nuanced take comes from Credit Suisse repo guru and monetary planning expert Zoltan Pozsar, who took a detour from his extensive narrative on how the Fed's QT will impact the market and instead focused on what could be a Lehman weekend for funding markets as a result of Western sanctions on Russia. Such as Zoltan notes, is a surplus agent, i.e. an entity which typically lends a whole lot of funds in the euro-dollar market. The Bank of Russia has over $450 billion in non-gold foreign exchange reserves, and the private sector has over $500 billion of liquid investments. Drawing comparisons with the 2008 Lehman Brothers failure and the pandemic-related market seizures of 2020, Pozsar warns that central banks should stand ready to make markets on Monday again. Exclusions from SWIFT will lead to mispayments and giant overdrafts similar to the mispayments and giant overdrafts that we saw in March 2020, he wrote. Banks' inability to make payments due to their exclusion from SWIFT is the same as Lehman's inability to make payments due to its clearing banks' unwillingness to send payments on its behalf. History does not repeat itself, but it certainly rhymes. And of Russia's close to $1 trillion of liquid wealth, just over $300 billion is in short-term money market instruments, and he estimates that about $200 billion of this represents the lending of US dollars in the foreign exchange swap market. This, however, is not immediately obvious from the Bank of Russia's reports, which, as Credit Suisse strategists note, doesn't mention foreign exchange swaps, and lists only about $100 billion in US dollar exposures. As such, Pozsar cautions that the published numbers require careful interpretation. Thus, according to the Bank of Russia's latest foreign exchange and gold asset management report, US dollar assets make up about 20% of Russia's non-gold FX reserves at the end of June 2021, which is way down from 50% at the start at the end of March 2018. And as a reminder, in April 2018, Russia sold all its cash treasury securities, both the central bank and the private sector. But as Zoltan notes, there are telltale signs in the data that the proceeds from those sales went into the FX swap market. In other words, FX reserves are still in US dollars, but not onshore. They are offshore in the euro-dollar market. As further proof that Russian reserves have entered the swap market, Pazar notes a substantial increase in Russia's claims on foreign central banks after it sold US treasuries, adding that on-balance sheet manifestations of FX swaps, the spot sale and forward purchases of your dollars for other currencies, are non-US dollar assets that the lender of US dollars buys with the local currency collateral received against US dollars. For central banks, these are typically deposits at other central banks. Chasing the trail of where Russian central bank reserves can be found, the big increase in the Bank of Russia's claims on foreign central banks and the typical year-end spikes that come as lenders in the FX swap market lend more to harvest year-end premia in recent years. Because QE during the pandemic compressed dollar premia, the data also shows a shift in the reinvestment strategy towards short-end debt issued by supranationals. The chart shows Zoltan's estimate of the Bank of Russia's US dollar exposure with adjustments for dollars lent through FX swaps. The shares hasn't changed much since 2018. It's still about 50%, which is more reasonable than the reported 20% for a country that is a big exporter of commodities priced in US dollars. Assuming that Russia has roughly $200 billion in FX swaps, the Hungarian repo expert then points the Bank of Russia and the private sector have claims on foreign banks in the form of deposits of around $50 billion each, likely a mix of euro and US dollar denominated deposits, which is how Zoltan arrived at the $300 billion total. If Russian short-term money market instruments are roughly 30% of its total liquid wealth of $1 trillion, then Zoltan warns that $300 billion deployed in the money market is a lot, and $300 billion is enough to push spreads around in the funding markets. He then goes on to note that $300 billion in the extreme can either be potentially trapped by sanctions or moved somehow from west to east to avoid being trapped by sanctions. Each would be a market event. So what happens then if the funds get frozen through sanctions, an event which the CS analyst said would turn a surplus agent into a deficit agent, which in turn would lead to missed payments, much like the onset of COVID-19 led to missed payments and turned surplus agents into deficit agents. The downside case, if indeed this is similar to the start of COVID, then overnight trillions in short-term funding markets were frozen, is something the market should discount, according to Pozar. Alternatively, as he explains it more simply, consider the notion that if you owe the bank $1 million, that's your problem. But if you owe the bank $1 billion, that's the bank's problem. One potential loophole Russia has is that as surplus agent, it can move surplus funds from Western financial centers and institutions to financial centers, financial institutions, and central banks elsewhere, for example, in the East, such as China, that would then allow it to recycle surplus back into the financial system. But that would mean the partial teardown of matched foreign exchange swap books and outflows of operating deposits as public and private surpluses are moved, respectively, from Western banks. But that would be their funding problem as deficit agents. These institutions may then have to tap the dollar swap lines. And this is where it gets really, really ugly, because as Pulsar puts it, when flows change, spreads can gap. Conceding ahead of the weekend's escalation that he is no expert on geopolitics, nor does he know which way events will unfold, either on the ground or in the domain of sanctions, Pulsar cautions that if things escalate, it's not hard to see a direct impact on FX swaps and US dollar LIBOR fixings, given Russia's vast financial surpluses and where those surpluses are deployed. Or, as he put it, whoever moves first, there is a funding impact either way. Which brings us to Pulsar's latest must-read note, which was published after we learned that the Russian central bank will be sanctioned, effectively triggering the worst case scenario for funding markets. And in which Pazar writes, I'll never forget the late night briefing on Friday before Lehman's bankruptcy, where according to one line of argument, Lehman's problems were so widely understood that the system had enough time to hedge itself so that the actual default would be manageable. Well, as he sarcastically notes, it didn't turn out like that, adding that if a bank closes a $200 billion balance sheet on Friday and doesn't open on Monday, someone's $200 billion wasn't hedged by definition. And the same applies with exclusions from SWIFT. According to Posar, exclusions from SWIFT will lead to missed payments and giant overdrafts similar to the missed payments and giant overdrafts that we saw in March 2020. And as a reminder, back then, Zoltan was perhaps the first to warn loudly that supply chains are payment chains in reverse and that lockdowns would lead to missed payments everywhere. Today, all global payments go through SWIFT, including payments for commodities. And so the Credit Suisse strategist notes that exclusions from SWIFT will lead to missed payments everywhere again. Or as he put it, just as COVID viruses froze the flow of goods and services that led to missed payments, war has led to exclusions from SWIFT that will lead to missed payments again, but by design, and not without a risk of retaliation. If a freeze in activity can lead to missed payments, an inability to receive payments through SWIFT can freeze the flow of goods, services, and commodities like gas or neon in kind. Being a monetary plumbing expert, Polzar is in his prime to warn that we are dealing with pipelines here, financial and real. In the present context, they are two sides of the same coin. Inability to receive may mean unwillingness to send. Commodity flows aside, one would assume that central banks would reactivate daily swap line operations now that the SWIFT option got invoked. In other words, central banks should stand ready to make markets on Monday again. And as an aside, the Russian central bank appears to have anticipated at least a part of the current escalation because, as it noted above, the Bank of Russia has neither treasuries to repo with the new FIMA repo facility nor dollar swap lines with the Fed. And if its assets are frozen, it can't raise dollars to provide for its domestic banks. It does, however, have swap lines where the rehypothecation pathway can be severed, and it also has lots of gold. Why does that matter? Well, as Polzar explains in a quick crash course on moneyness, central bank deposits and securities are all inside money, that is money, and money-like claims that are someone else's liability. And it's situations like this where outside money, money claims like gold bullion, that are no one's liability, is king, especially if stored in vaults domestically. Unlike balances at the Deutsche Bundesbank, Western G-SIBs or Euroclear, you control what you have. The best example, of course, is gold, which is a sovereign money under the mattress. And as Polzar notes, the Bank of Russia has more of it than deposits at foreign central banks. The silver, or rather gold lining, for Russia is that gold can be pledged under repo operations to cover one's dollar needs, something which both Venezuela and Turkey have done, by the way. With a willing, collateral-rich central bank that has enough treasuries to repo, such as China, or perhaps even the BIS, which owes its origin to repatriation payments. And one can accumulate dollar surpluses anew through ongoing commodity exports away from financial centres in the West by seeding financial centres in the East. Indeed, as Pazar puts it, the options appear limitless as long as there is a willing counterparty to transact with Russia. And that could be US dollars from treasuries via repos, it could be US dollars from local currencies via foreign exchange swaps, or it could be US dollars from gold via, well, whatever you end up calling that. But this is where the repo plumbing guru warns against, that such transactions were never going to go smoothly, especially since banking is about double entry bookkeeping. My assets are your liabilities, like the blue and red veins in the body in one's elementary biology book. Which brings us to the punchline of Pazar's warning. There is no difference between Lehman unable to pay back money funds because its tri-party clearing agent is unwilling to unwind or trade repos, and banks unable to receive and make payments because they're out of SWIFT. He then adds, the Helmstedt risk or settlement risk owes its name to a mishap as a single bank, but the risk in the current scenario involves an entire country's banking system. And here comes Posar with another Lehman analogy. Banks' inability to make payments due to their exclusions from SWIFT is the same as Lehman's inability to make payments due to its clearing banks' unwillingness to send payments on its behalf. History does not repeat itself, possibly, but it does rhyme. The bottom line from Posar, and one which Western leaders appears to have ignored in their pursuit of a unified statement against Russia, is that the consequence of excluding banks from SWIFT is real, and so is the need for central banks to reactivate daily US dollar funds supplying operations. And just to underscore the point of how serious it will get in the coming hours, not days, the Hungarian warns that excess reserves and balances won't be enough. Instead, we will see the Fed's most powerful stabilizing intervention in play, a spike in liquidity swaps, which are currently at zero. As Posar concludes, it appears that the Ukraine war has translated into yet another Fed balance sheet boosting crisis, just like COVID. And so the Fed's balance sheet might expand again before it contracts via QT. And not just because of the swap lines, the FIMA repo facility is also there to turn collateral into dollars anonymously away from the prying eyes of dealers if a central bank becomes a friendly correspondent for a sanctioned central bank turning gold into cash. That, or an unforeseen call on unwanted reserves, could mean that correspondents flood the repo market with collateral before QT even began. And just like that, we are back to square one. So keep an eye on press releases from the Fed ahead of Monday's opening announcing the central bank's readiness to keep the world flush with dollars as the Ukraine worst-case scenario is now reality. In Posar's view, current excess reserves and reverse purchase agreement facilities won't be enough, and monetary authorities will need to act. And the upshot from that is that the Federal Reserve, which has been paving the way to start shrinking its balance sheet through so-called quantitative tightening, might actually expand it first. Well, I have to say, I told you so. So let's see whether it plays out as I expected. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.